Yeah, he uses his what's left of his appendages to play the organ. Does a beautiful job. And we have several talented musicians in our church. So thankful for that. Well, Mrs. Edwards and I are going to try to sing Heaven's Christmas Song. There's a song that came from heaven to shepherds tending sheep on a special night in Bethlehem. The music was so sweet, and the angel voices herald joyous news to bring. I'll listen to the song that heaven sings. Oh, listen to the song that heaven sings. Glory in the highest, praise the newborn King. The angels join in chorus, hear the message that they bring. Oh, listen to the song that heaven sings. And that song that came from heaven 2,000 years ago keeps on ringing through the ages long, but never growing old. For that baby in the manger now reigns as King of Kings. So listen to the song that heaven sings. Oh, listen to the song that heaven sings. Glory in the highest, praise the newborn King. The angels join in chorus, hear the message that they bring. Oh, listen to the song that heaven sings. Oh, listen to the song that heaven sings.
Thank you, Charlie. Let's go over to James chapter 3. James chapter 3, we're going to have a search for right wisdom tonight. And as you're turning there, I've been reminiscing a lot. I think Thanksgiving makes you reminisce about things. But just when you're in the mood for reminiscing, when we were singing that first song, Excelsis Deo, I remember back in, I was helping the Tippetts with Junior Church, and Mrs. Tippett helped me understand how to say that word. It's eggshell. Eggshell. Remember that. Eggshell sisteo. All right. So that'll help you out if you're confused on how to say that. Do you remember teaching me that? All right. Thank you. That's one thing I learned. All right. And then did anybody, I don't know if I'm the only weird one in here that just got reminded. When that first bell went off, did anybody think about the Klinkenschnell, that play that we did way back when? It was Whitney, Rachel, Ethan, Peden, and I. We went all the way around the church, and we forgot our parts when we were going around, so we just started over. And nobody realizes that. You just thought we were cute because we were young, and you forgot about it. Do you remember that? I had to leave my shoe on the Klinkenschnell, but there was always a ding. Yeah, reminiscing. Reminiscing, isn't it good? Back in my day, yeah. All right. A search for right wisdom. I was humbled yesterday, and I'll just have to include my transparency. When we're talking about wisdom, it seems like a very broad topic when we talk about wisdom. I was explaining to the choir tonight that from Friday night into Saturday morning, somebody got into my truck and stole something from my truck. So it was exciting. It didn't really matter because it was just a fillet knife set that I got given because I signed up for something, and it just sat there anyway. So I guess they'll be able to use it. Maybe it was Barry. Barry got into my truck. I don't know. But somebody got in there. And the next morning, we went over to my parents' place and see my sister and her family, well, Matt and Emily, and then Anna and David. If you didn't see David, he was like the 8-foot-tall person that showed up this morning. But they were over there, and, you know, we had announced that we were stolen from. And my older sister, you know, older sisters are more of a motherly type figure. Does anybody have an older sister that was kind of a second mother to you? Okay, she goes off and she says, well, didn't you lock your door? You should lock your door. Now, how well does a younger brother respond to a motherly sister? Well, I didn't respond very well, just to be transparent about that. But you think about wisdom and you think, well, you know, if I would have locked my door, I'd probably still have the knife set in my truck, correct? And so I have to just humble myself here. She's not here to hear it, so I can do it in front of you. You know, I was wrong in my response, but that was good wisdom that she gave. Probably bad timing. Because I don't think we respond well after we've done something wrong, and then they tell us that we should have done something right, you know. But you think about wisdom, and you think there's a lot of wisdom out there, isn't there? Somebody, one night, when we were out and having a fellowship, maybe you're reminiscing about this. We were having a fellowship, somebody in our church left their purse out in the lobby. And somebody was wise because they thought that they could, you know, get richer by taking a purse. And, I mean, that's wisdom. You take somebody's purse, you get richer, don't you? I don't know if they were very successful at it, but they thought it was wisdom in order to take, you know, if I can apply knowledge, there's supposed to be some sort of money in this purse. This was a long time ago. And it turned out to be Michelle Burgess' purse. And we searched all over the place. We went down and thought that maybe he threw it out. But you think there's all kinds of wisdom all over the place. Yes, I've been reminiscing a little bit lately. But what is right wisdom? What's the kind that we should be searching for? And if you go and start in verse 13, and my plan is to get through this tonight in a brief amount of time, that way we've got enough time for the Lord's table. But starting in verse 13, it says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. So they ask this question and they're actually actively searching. Okay, who is actually wise among you? There's a lot of people that are out there that if it came to wheeling and dealing, you know who to go to in order to seek out that wisdom. I mean, I had a friend up north. This man knew everything about everything. I mean, just you go from guns to Rolex watches to UTVs to coveralls. He knew anything and everything. And so if you had a question about, OK, well, how much would this sell for? He just knew what it was worth. And you could go to him and you can gain some wisdom. Some people you go to when your furnace quits. And you go to them and you ask them, so how can I fix this? Right. Some of you, your car quits and you go and you ask advice. Well, some of you think, oh, I got a rip in my pants, so I got to go and ask somebody for advice and wisdom here. This person is seeking out a wise man or woman endued with knowledge. And it's not just intellectual, because he actually gives the answer here of who he's looking for, because there's a whole lot of wisdom out there. There's books and books and books. Did anybody go to a Barnes & Noble on Black Friday and try to get something? Or do you just go in and drink some coffee and read whatever books that they have available?
I mean, there's books and books and books available for all those that are self-published, what have you. They think they've got all this intellectual knowledge. But when he comes back in here and he says, okay, who is this wise person endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. You say, well, this is kind of a theme here. If you've got faith, prove it. If you're a Christian, show no partiality. If you're a Christian, control your tongue by giving it over to God. If you have wisdom, prove it. Prove that you have this right here. This is what it takes. And he's searching. And listen, you might have to go pretty far in order to find this kind of wisdom. Because this is not attractive nowadays. This is not the politically correct. This is not the culturally acceptable type of wisdom. He says, let him show it out of a good conversation, a good lifestyle, his works with meekness, with a submission to God in a fallen world. It's not just intellectual, it's behavioral. It's making the right choice right now with humility, submitting to God in this fallen world. This is the ability to connect God's character to all of life's circumstances. Who is this person? You say, well, who needs this kind of wisdom? Who needs it? Do I need it? Do you need it? Well, if you go to James chapter 3 and verse 1, we've already dealt with that, but it says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Believe me, if you are teaching, if you are in a teaching position, you want wisdom. And even in going to James chapter 1 and verse 2, it starts there, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be entire, perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So who needs wisdom? Everyone in here needs wisdom. So don't cast yourself out of this sermon here tonight. Don't check out and, okay, what am I going to get on Cyber Monday deals? You know, I forgot to get my vacuum, so I might as well get it on here real quick. I imagine, you know, somebody's got it here. It's extending into Sunday. Stop. Back out of that. Listen, this is more important than some deal that you can get with $2 off of a crock pot. This is way more important because we need wisdom. Everybody's searching. We're trying to find it. And a lot of people are going to the wrong places in order to find it. Guess what? We have the right place. Pastor was discussing how a bunch of young people went out in a football game and sat in the middle of a field. There had to be a leader somewhere in order to tell them to do that. There was a leader and a bunch of followers. But the thought that they were doing something to make a difference, to make a change, to save our world, that's a big deal nowadays. I mean, I went into Rule King, what was it, a month ago or a month and a half ago, and the cashier was telling me about how the world's going to end, and we need to do everything that we possibly can, so you might as well not take a plastic bag, just save the earth, and I don't know, this cow business stuff, we've got too many cows or something, because we got to be able to save the world. Listen, everybody's searching for wisdom to get to their next point. And they're desperate and they're looking to everywhere. They're looking to social media. Believe me, that's not the place to go for wisdom. I just for fun, there's this website called Babylon Bee. Has anybody ever heard of it? It is not truth. Okay? It could be truth somewhere. Like there was one article that they put out there that, and it's usually related to Christian stuff. So the church was upset that the pastor bought a new car, which was an 89 Honda Civic. And he was discussing how the pastor was getting paid too much because he bought this new car, which wasn't technically a new car. It was just a new car to the pastor. As he was sitting at the golf course next to his Cadillac Escalade, discussing how bad the pastor was for spending too much on an 89 Honda Civic. It's supposed to be a joke. It's probably true somewhere. Somebody had a complaint about it. Another one was that it took the Baptist church about 89 years in order to make a decision about changing the dead light bulb out in the lobby. You know, things like that. You know, it's funny stuff. I posted something on Facebook and people got upset about it. I said, folks, this isn't truth. It's just supposed to be a joke. Oh, I thought it was real. Listen, not everything on the internet is real. Not everything is on the internet is real. Listen. Not everything that people call you about and says, "Oh, your computer has a virus," and you need to give us your social security number in order to fix that. Oh, sure. Why not? They must know. Somebody called me about that. I said, "This phone number is not even connected to a computer." Oh. I said, "You need Jesus," and I hung up. People are searching all over the place. What is that right kind of wisdom? Here it is. Who is this wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him prove his wisdom. Out of a good conversation is works with meekness of wisdom, and everybody in here needs it. But guess what? There's a couple different types of wisdom here, and the first one being the negative side of it. Demonstrating worldly wisdom here is in verse 14 through 16. It says there, "But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work." Tonight I'm going to tell you, where does this come from, this worldly wisdom? What character traits are being shown by this, and what are the results of that? And you've seen that in verses 14 through 16. So let's go to verse 15 here. First off, where does worldly wisdom come from? And by the way, this is not the type of wisdom that you want. This is the one that you want to avoid. Where does it come from? It says there in verse 15, it says, "This wisdom descendeth not from above." What are you talking about? Well, if you go to James chapter 1 and verse 17, what does it say there? "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights," who is God the Father, "with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." What comes from above is every good gift, what you need. But what it says here is that this kind of wisdom does not come from above. This does not come from God. And as we see here and see the different things and how it's described, it says that it doesn't come from above, but is earthly. What is earthly means belongs to the way of life in this world. This is a horizontal way of thinking that is human based. Okay? Its life is about what I can see. Does that reflect our culture? If it doesn't, then go out and look at the billboards all over the place. Look at the advertisements. Look at everything that's going on. People live off of what they see. Social media. I knew of some people who are trying to get better at their finances. So what do? The first thing that they did was cut off social media. Why? Because they were watching everybody else buy all these things, and they felt like they had to add up to these people. Oh, this is making their life nicer. So I might as well buy all these things. And all of a sudden they were getting in trouble with all these finances. They were living off of base what they could see. What is that? The lust of the eyes? Isn't that what it's describing there? This earthly description, it's sensual, characterized by the created, finite, and fallen world. This is unspiritual. It comes from the mental and emotional ideas of fallen human beings. Life is based on how I feel. Well, Pastor made a joke about that tonight in choir, and he says, well, how do you feel about this song? Well, if you feel good, then that's what we base everything off of, right? Listen, how many of you, if you based everything off of what you felt, would not be here tonight? Be honest. If it was based on how I feel, then I might be starting to act like a lot of what is going out in our culture today. Well, I don't like what you're doing, so I'm going to go stand out in the middle of the road and have a lineup and shut down traffic. Because I just don't feel that you're doing the right thing. And because I don't feel right, then I should affect you. Now, how many of you like that kind of a lifestyle? I don't feel right, so I'm going to make you feel bad about it. Well, sometimes we live that way in the sense that when we do feel crummy, we make everybody else feel crummy. Well, if I don't feel good, nobody else is going to feel good because I don't feel good. And so they'll go around and just rat about life and how it's all horrible and everything. And I don't have this and I don't have that and I just don't feel good. So I don't think this life, you know, sometimes if we backed up and we, and this is how a lot of Christians will act in the sense of, well, God must not be happy with me right now because I just don't feel good. Well, God must not be real because I don't feel good. I don't feel that this is right. So God and His promises must not be effective, true. How many times do we see people walk away because of these types of traits coming out in their lives and what they're seeing here? Life is based on what I see. Life is based on how I feel. Is this helpful to any of us? No, this is wisdom that is from below. This is wisdom that's from the world. This is wisdom that is not good for us, that we should not be characterized by. And as you see the last one, it says that it is devilish. Just as I said there, it's from below. Satan uses this type of wisdom to corrupt relationships, to corrupt families, to corrupt churches, to corrupt everything around us. We deny truth when we just live off of based on how we see and what we feel. So what are the character traits of this kind of wisdom? You go on back into verse 14, go back one, it says, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. What kind of character traits are coming out? What it's trying to point out here is that bitter envying, bitterness, envying at all is not from God the Father. It should not be a part of any aspect of our life. Does anybody struggle with bitterness in here? Oh, I have. I'll just raise my hand for you. I think we've all struggled. And so I've never struggled with bitterness. Well, do you ever bring up things from 20 years ago that still irk you? Oh, I've forgiven them. Have you? Oh, I've let it go. Have you? When we come in here, bitter envying is being so jealous of another's possessions or relationships that it drives you to bitterness. And bitterness is like an acid. I believe I've said this before. It changes you to where people don't even recognize you after it's done its toil on you. Strife. selfish ambition, a strong drive for personal success without moral reserves. It says, glory not. Don't boast in these things. Don't boast in the fact that you have bitterness. Some people boast in looking back and becoming bitter about certain things. And they will bring up things at any moment. Listen, during Sunday school, it will always be that illustration that comes up. Oh, my husband did this 17 years ago. He ruined my life. Or my wife did this, or my kid did this. And bitterness rises up. This strife, this division rises up. He's saying, don't glory in this. They wear it like the belt. That, you know, how you've seen commercials of the WWE. Maybe you guys, some of you are into it way too much, but you probably shouldn't. It's fake, by the way. Okay? Fake news. All right? But you know what they do? They have that belt that hangs over their arm and they go around and then pretty soon somebody steals it from them. I don't understand it all. But anyway, I guess it makes money for them. But they're wearing this belt around. Some people wear their belt of bitterness around. Like a chip on their shoulder. And that's what they live for, is to tell everybody about how bitter they are about this certain thing that happened to them at this certain time. And because of that, they can't do anything else. And it stops them from having that potential for God. Listen, if you are bitter about something, I'm not sure that you are being used for God at the same time. Because that bitterness is like an acid. It's toxic. It affects everything around you. And you say, well, what do I do? Lay it at the altar. Get rid of it. Be done with it. It's not helping you. I'd have quite a few come up to me while we were at Dayton Center and they say, well, I just don't know why God doesn't take me from this earth. I'm too old to do anything. And I turn around and say, I don't know if I'm just being selfish, but I need you here. I said, you could pray for me. I'd take it. You being here encourages me, because when you're not here, I'm discouraged. Most of the time, it was the old people that were the most faithful. When there were 6 inches on the ground, they'd be there. And the young people that were a mile away wouldn't be there. Does that make sense to anybody? Is that wisdom? I mean, for crying out loud, back in the day, they'd take their snowmobiles, they'd get them out, and they'd go to church when there's a blizzard. But I turn around and say, listen, I need you. God has placed you here in my life to help me and to mentor me, because I don't know if you noticed, but I'm a little young guy that needs some wisdom. And you've got a whole lot. You've got to experience that God has worked in your life. And that's why I love testimony service. I loved Tuesday night. Anybody enjoy Tuesday night? I mean, aside from the pie and the coffee. I mean, the testimonies were great, weren't they? And just being able to hear about how God saved them and what God's doing in their lives and even through the trials. And what was it? What was the song that you talked about this morning, Joe? And how if I got to choose, I would choose mountaintops. God chose my valley. If I got to choose, wouldn't I always choose a mountaintop? But would I ever grow on the mountaintop? Well, see, this bitterness that we allow to take control of ourselves, of how he didn't do it this way and how they didn't do it this way, and it ruined us from then on, and how we could never grow from then. And I hear that at churches all the time. Well, this pastor came in here and they destroyed the church, and because of that, we can't grow anymore. Really? I'm pretty sure Jesus is still God. I mean, he's still working, and it says the gates of hell will not prevail against what God's doing on this earth. And he's still saving people. And man, if I allow one person to stop this whole entire church, man, wow, is God that powerful? Or is that weak, maybe? And how you're describing him? See, we allow things to stop us. And there's strife, and now it's always everybody else's fault. And he's saying, this is not the wisdom. See, when we're against other people and having that bitterness, and when we're causing strife, it puts it all in their boat. And it's not my fault. It wasn't my problem. Right? It makes me feel good for a moment. But when I'm all by myself because I've tossed everybody away because of my bitterness, nobody is ever around me, then I resort to, well, nobody wants to be around me, so now I'm going to be bitter about that. Have you ever seen this happen in real life? Oh, I've seen it over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. Why won't people be around me? Because you've let strife and bitterness control your whole entire being. And you've stopped allowing God to work in your life. And that's what you make every decision based on, that bitterness and strife. You say, is bitterness really that big of a deal? Yes, it is. So what's the result? Verse 16. It says, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Is that descriptive of God in any bit of that? Is God the author of confusion? His details are absolutely amazing. I mean, how many of us can speak and an animal shows up? An animal that actually works. I mean, how many of us have a work project that we've had to redo about 5 times because it doesn't work correctly? So, oh, what did I do? Oh, I forgot that part. Why is the futon upside down? What are these issues that are going? God spoke, and everything came into existence. Whoa. This is not what God's all about here. This confusion and every evil work. Have you seen this stuff affect families and churches, individuals, over and over and over again? So here's the positive side of it. Let's toss out the worldly wisdom, and let's go to the last two verses. Demonstrating godly wisdom, verse 17, it says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. It's almost as if James just summarized most of what we've already gone through. Okay, so he goes in, where does this wisdom come from? Where is this wisdom that he's searching for? Where is it coming from? Well, if you go back to verse 17, what does it say? Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. Where does this come from? God. Does anybody in here need godly wisdom? And when you're coming into this, you say, where's it coming from? This wisdom comes from heaven. This is not from this earth. This is not what we can search from our peers. This is from God. What are the character traits? Verse 17, what does it say? Is that pure, spiritual integrity and moral sincerity, having no faults. Okay? There's no problems with God's wisdom. Well, there's got to be an issue in here somewhere. God doesn't give wisdom with issues. He gives us exactly what we need for the trials at hand. That's why when we're going through trials, count it all joy, because we've got to go to the Master that helps us with those trials, that gives us the right way, that helps us with the right decision at the right time. This is where we got to go. So it's pure. It's peaceable. It's promoting a state of wholeness and unity. It's peaceable. It's gentle, it's merciful, or tolerant of slight deviations from moral or legal rectitude. When people mess up, you don't jump all over their case. Have you ever been around a pastor, not our pastor, okay? Have you ever been around a pastor that, man, the way that he preaches, you could never approach him? I hope that's not me, okay? I always want to be approachable. Because I mess up. Hopefully the transparency of, yeah, I'm a sinner saved by grace. Praise God for my identity in Jesus Christ. And please, if you need help, come on in. We'll share our burdens together and we'll move forward together. How about that? But have you ever been around somebody who is so spiritual that you'd never want to go around them because they're only going to tell you what you're doing wrong? And they will never accept you for all the past mistakes that you've done, the past decisions, the mess ups that you've made. They've forgotten that Jesus Christ has paid it all. This is what it's talking about. It's being gentle. It's being that one that can come in and hug it out. I've got no words right now. Just hug it out. We'll get through it. We'll cry through it. Let's do it. I mean, because Jesus is compassionate. He's merciful. He's that kind shepherd bringing in the lost sheep. This is who Jesus is. So this is who we need to be. This is the type of wisdom that we need to have. If you want to go and help be a part of God's plan of saving lost souls and caring for lost people, you got to receive imperfect people. What if they've got tattoos? Okay. Have you ever made a dumb decision in your life? Have you ever caused pain to yourself for no good reason? Yeah, we do it all the time. What if they just don't wear the right clothes to church? Are they here? Man, that's the first step, isn't it? Well, they've hurt me so many times. Oh, man, that's the hardest one, isn't it? They've hurt me over and over and over again. How can I accept them? Jesus paid it all. Easy to be entreated. There's a submission. There's a teachable, compliant, obedient to God's standards, willing and open to adopt another position that's based on what God wants. Okay? And again, I can't spend a whole lot of time on this. Oh, man, I just... Word of God is cool, isn't it? Okay? But you know, and you see these things going on and people freaking out at each other. I mean, Christians fighting each other over stupid stuff. Over preferences. For crying out loud. I think Satan's winning when your argument is attacking each other. Just let it go. And these people fighting over versions? Come on. I wonder if Jesus had a KJV. Or the Message. I wonder what they did before the KJV. And I'm wondering what they're doing in other countries without the KJV. They must not have the true Word of God. I mean, we've got to think about that, and you're probably going to get angry with me, okay? I'm sorry, I'm the young guy that doesn't know how to, you know, say things in a politically correct way. But when you're coming into this, I mean, people can't get along, so I got to go to the church down the road, because, you know, they don't do it exactly the way that I think it should be done. If it's not going against the Word of God, what's the issue? Merciful, showing compassion towards the offender, producing good fruit, results of action and effort. Impartial, not looking out the outside and judging them based on what they can offer you, but looking at them and understanding that they are a sinner that needs Jesus. And if they are a sinner that's saved by grace, they need the gospel every single day of their lives. And so just love them like Jesus loves. And without hypocrisy, it's not pretending. So you say, what are the results of this type of wisdom? How does it help us out? It says, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in the peace of them that make peace. Righteousness flows out of them. I'll give you one last example. And it seems like it's going to be a dumb example, so just follow with me, all right? We used to have this guy on our basketball team, and I realized that I sat on the bench most of the time, so just I was watching from the bench, okay? This guy was very aggressive, okay? And if you ever heard of the term box out, anybody heard of that term? Okay, all right. Well, you're supposed to get the other person out of the box. So you usually want to use your backside in order to box them out and get the rebound, okay? All right, you want to get the ball. When it bounces off the backboard, you want to get the ball. Why? Because you don't want them to get the ball. Okay? If you've never played basketball, that's the point. Okay? Well, this guy, he was super tall, and so he was always getting the rebounds, but he always had an issue. He'd jump up, and he would be correct in how he did it, in the essence of he'd get the ball, and he'd come back down, but this is what he would do. He'd go, to get people out of the way. And you say, where are you going with this? Well, it would often result in a foul, which means that we would lose the ball. Say, again, where are you going this, and how does it resolve with the church, and how wisdom? Sometimes people have a lot of intellectual, and maybe they start out right, but they end up wrong. Maybe they jump up, they get the ball, but when they have the ball, they're starting to box everybody out and foul them as they go along. Sometimes people jump up, they grab the Bible, and then they hurt everybody as they go through. Okay? When you have correct wisdom and you're getting the game right, when you're playing it right, when you're living it right, having the right kind of wisdom, it is going to bring peace. You're going to gain fruit. You're going to score points. That's what's going to happen. So we're searching all over the place. Let's search for the right kind of wisdom. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for all that you've done. God, oh man, your word is awesome. And it's so challenging. It's so challenging to me. And there's a lot of places that I mess up and have not shown humility. And when I come down, sometimes I foul people, not using your wisdom in the correct manner. Sometimes I don't bring peace. Sometimes I don't bring that humility, and no righteousness comes from it. Points are scored for the other team. God, help us as a church to reflect this right wisdom. This church is made up of individuals that have to choose for themselves to be intentional about this next step, to search out that kind of, and to be that person that other people are searching out for, that kind of right wisdom. God, may you help us. We know we lack wisdom, so we're begging for you to give it to us right now. In Jesus' name, amen.